Live from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the KSHP studios, this is the Michelle Mortensen Show with your host, Michelle Mortensen, the fresh and fearless voice of talk radio, taking on the liberal media, the political hacks, and so much more. It's time to nix the narrative and get to the truth the way only Michelle can. Now, here's your host, the fresh, fiery, and factual voice of politics and news, eight-time Emmy winner, Michelle Mortensen.
Good morning, everyone. Hope you are doing well on this Monday. It's a big Monday. If you haven't noticed already, what we're seeing is the vaccine is popping out everywhere. Early this morning, you saw people in New York and in Tampa and in other places going and getting shot in the arm with the vaccine. We've gotten word now that there are already over 12,675 doses that have been delivered right here in the great state of Nevada. And if you turn on the news, you got everybody, almost everybody saying, this is just a monumental day. This is just historic. This is just the best thing ever. Isn't it great? My God, they almost have tears in their eyes. It's ironic and it's confusing for this reason alone. This is the same media that for the most part said we would never have a vaccine in 2020. This is the same media for the most part that said Donald Trump was a liar, that they would fact check his projections that we would have a vaccine in 2020. That's right. That's what we heard. We heard that it was all nonsense and that this day would never come. Oh, mind you, we also heard from people like Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, and others that, surprise, they're not going to get the vaccine because it's so dangerous, because it's Donald Trump's creation. It's the worst thing since sliced bread, so we sure as shooting aren't going to be getting that, right? That's essentially what we're hearing here. But yet now everyone's acting like this is the best thing ever. Like it is just, it is monumental, it is amazing, and, you know, thank God that the vaccine is here. We know that not all Americans feel that way, but of course, that is the message. That is basically the propaganda that you are getting. But let me tell you, friends, COVID is here and more restrictions are definitely on the way. Now, here in the great state of Nevada, where we're broadcasting live from in Las Vegas, the governor, Governor Steve Sisolak, for those of you fortunate enough not to live here and not know that name, he came out and decided to extend his pause. You know, we were on pause, not a shutdown, a pause for about 3 weeks. He has decided to extend that pause because he says cases are going up. In fact, cases are much higher today than they were 3 weeks ago before he instituted his stupid pause, which tells us one thing. It tells us one thing, that reducing capacity in restaurants to 25% didn't work. It didn't stop anything. It didn't do anything at all to change anything with hospitalizations. In fact, hospitalizations are still at only about 1,800 people having in the hospital have COVID. Of the other 6,600 beds, it's just filled with regular Joes who've got something else, some other reason why they're there. So his pause hasn't worked. But my God, you know he's got a reason why this happened. In fact, you know what he blamed it on. Let's roll the tape.
As you all know, Dr. Fauci predicted that Thanksgiving would cause a surge on top of a surge. We have every indication that's where the nation and where Nevada is headed at this time.
So he basically said, you know, this is all because of Thanksgiving. This is all because of Fauci. That is the problem. That is the issue here. It's all because of Thanksgiving. Fauci said it. Everybody else said it. It's because shame, shame. We know your name. You obviously spent some time with loved ones on Thanksgiving. Hogwash, 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 hogwash. But yet that's what he's going to blame it on. He also said this was the interesting thing. He gave his traditional threat. His traditional threat of, you know, if you don't follow my rules, I'm just going to have to do something more. I'm just going to have to come down and do something harder. Preface it with dot, 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 ellipse. Shutdowns are unrealistic. I can't do that. No, no, you can't screw the casinos. Nope, nope, nope. You can't screw retail because that's all we've got in this state. So what are you going to do that's that much tougher, Mr. Sisolak? Nothing at all. So what exactly did he institute? Let's roll the tape.
That's why today I am announcing that we will be extending the restrictions and the pause under the current pause in Nevada for the next month through January 15th. We will be extending the restrictions and the current pause through January 15th.
We're going to extend this pause, the pause, until January 15th. What does that do, essentially? You know what? It makes restaurants and casinos that were hoping to have a lot more people come in for Christmas and for New Year's Eve a little upset, but quite honestly, it changes nothing. It changes nothing at all. It keeps everything exactly the same as we've been living with it all December long. And here's the point I need everyone to get. The reason this is happening is because Sisolak cannot and will not do a shutdown here in the state of Nevada again. You know, Bill de Blasio in New York, he's threatening to do it. Why can Bill de Blasio do that? Because New York has all sorts of other resources that bring income. New York City is not the hub of all income for the state of New York. However, here in Nevada, Las Vegas is the hub for all of it, for all of it. And you can't get rid of gaming and tourism here in the state of Nevada, because if you do, we won't have any money to survive. And guess what, my friends? We go into a legislative session on February 1st, which means they are going to be creating a budget for the next two fiscal years. And right now, we are dead broke. He is hoping that Biden is going to bail him out. That's what he's hoping for. Fingers crossed. Biden administration is going to make some monopoly money and give him $1 trillion, and all our problems will be solved. Did you catch he also said if he could pay everyone to stay home, he would? That's insanity. Steve Sisolak is insane, and anyone who believes his drivel, anyone who believes his nonsense, is also equally insane, because you have drank the Kool-Aid that says this is a public health hazard. You have drank the Kool-Aid to say, you know what, things need to change. This is too bad. We need to stop living. We need to become a socialist country, like, now. And it's pure insanity. It is pure insanity. All right, I want to show you another video right now, because in this insanity with masks and COVID nonsense, United did the unthinkable to a family of three. Check this video out.
We just got kicked off the flight because our two-year-old would not put on a mask, and we tried. I mean, I'm going to put a video on. And they're sending all of our bags and Adeline's car seat to New York. And we're banned off of United forever because a two-year-old would not put on a mask.
Why?
We're over here holding this mask on her face.
I'm sorry, sir.
I took that opportunity and I ran with it. You see this? I'm literally covering her face.
I've got to ask you to get off.
How do you guys do this all the time, or what? Like, what?
There's non-compliance, yeah.
This is compliance. I'm literally holding it over my daughter's face. This is compliance right here.
We can't force her. She's literally holding it, and she's crying.
You're going to do this to us? Like, right now? Yeah?
Wow.
All right, let's go.
If that doesn't make you mad, you're not human. If you are a parent at all, even if you haven't had a young toddler for, say, I don't know, 10, 15 years now, you remember what it's like traveling with a toddler. When they insist the mask and your two-year-old doesn't want to do it, so that dad is literally holding his child and forcing the mask on her face, and that freaking flight attendant in United was like, not good enough. Sorry, you got to get off the plane. Absolute ridiculousness. What do they want? And get this, United did eventually get them their luggage and car seat, although it went all the way to New York and then they had to go and get it again. And then United called the couple this morning and said, guess what, mom, dad, you're not banned from United, but your daughter might be. What the what? This COVID mask nonsense is out of control. And my friends, I don't want you to be offended. My friends, I don't want you to say this is ridiculous. My friends, I don't want you to hem and haw and go on United's Facebook page and be like, you guys are jerks. No, I don't want any of that nonsense, because it doesn't work. What I want you to do is I want everyone to wake up and realize the tyranny and control that is going on here. Realize the stupidness that is happening in this country and start educating others so the drama trauma and the insanity stops. There's no benefit to going onto United's page and being like, you guys are the biggest jerks on earth. No, doesn't work. You want to know what else is ridiculous? Get this. Instagram and Twitter and Facebook have threatened to ban the mom's social media accounts for putting that video on. Because they say the video goes against Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter's standards. Now that's confusing. Why does that go against their standards? Oh, because it's anti-mask. Really? Fascinating. These are the times we're living in, my friends. These are the times we're living in, people. And it's not good. It's not good at all. And we need everyone to wake up. There is still so much more to cover in this show. I'm hoping you're going to give me a minute of time to check out one of our great sponsors, because the Grinches are everywhere this Christmas, and we're going to talk about them all.
That's right. It's the Grinch, and I'm back. I'm going to.
How many times has this happened to you? You're driving with your purse, your laptop bag, your grocery bag, or your backpack in the seat next to you, and it's on the floor after you stop or hit a quick turn. Well, we experienced this issue too, and we created a solution. Introducing Bagmodo, an easy-to-install, one-step process that fits seamlessly under any standard headrest and stores securely under the headrest. Bagmodo becomes a natural extension of your vehicle and helps stop your stuff from falling on the floor. Now you can secure your items systematically and effortlessly, keeping you from being a distracted driver, which, let's face it, is a huge problem these days. Bagmodo is the ultimate driver-centric product that doesn't distract drivers and helps keep everyone in the vehicle safe. For more information, go to bagmodo.com. That's bagmodo.com. Bagmodo, the easy-to-install, one-step process to stop your stuff.
Little John saying, all I want for Christmas is everything on my list. I'll tell you what, Hunter Biden, what he wants for Christmas is for everyone to pretend once again like it's October and like none of his problems were following him. That's what Hunter Biden wants for Christmas. I, of course, don't want that. I want the media to finally admit if they would, that this has all been a huge scam, a huge cover-up. Each and every single day, we find out more and more that President-elect Biden did know about Hunter Biden's business dealings. Every single day, we find out more and more that social media operations like Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook suppressed factual, viable news. Every day, we are learning that the mainstream media refused to cover topics relating to Hunter Biden and the laptop because it just really didn't work out for them. It just wasn't, you know, to their advantage, because their advantage was they wanted to get Joe Biden elected. So they basically did everything they could to suppress actual news. Meanwhile, the media viciously attacked Don Jr. for a meeting he had with Russians, with Ukrainians, and that's all we hear about ad nauseum. Representative Swalwell gets together with Fong Fong, and it's all wrong, and no one cares. No one gives a rat's patoot at all. But, you know, Don Jr. may have had something to do with it. Russian collusion, absolutely disproven, but the media just doesn't care. So all I want for Christmas, unlike Little John, who said everything on his list, all I want for Christmas is for truth and transparency, and let's nix some narrative. Now, we've got a lot to talk to you about, because our friends to the west, California, Oregon, Seattle, lost their dang minds. Let's get right to it. Not sure everyone's talking about this stuff, but you need to know about it. So, there is a newly elected DA in Los Angeles. Yes. His name is George Gasson. And he is the architect of Proposition 47, which largely decriminalizes theft and drug crimes by reducing those crimes and a number of other non-violent felonies to misdemeanors. He is also the architect of Prop 57, which allows for early release of nonviolent offenders. Now, you may wonder, what does this DA think a nonviolent offender is? Let me tell you. Let me read you the list. Someone who has committed rape by intoxication of an unconscious person. Totally nonviolent. People who have been accused of human trafficking and having sex with minors. Totally makes sense. That's nonviolent at all. People who have committed arson that has caused bodily harm. No, not violent. No, not at all. People who've been convicted of drive-by shootings. People who have been convicted with assault with a deadly weapon. Oh, and those fantastic people who've taken hostages. Yeah, all nonviolent. You know George Soros is behind this. He funded more than $2.5 million to George to get him elected as DA. What's ridiculous about this is if you go to our friends in Texas, they have a law called Law of Parties. So that means some guy who was driving the getaway vehicle, some poor kid, 16-year-old kid who's trying to get into a gang driving the getaway vehicle, can be charged with capital punishment and face the death penalty in a case where someone died. So in Texas, we've got the law of parties where freaking getaway drivers are also getting the death penalty and life in prison. But over in California, my God, you can take a hostage, you can assault someone with a deadly weapon, have a drive-by shooting, have sex with a minor, and rape someone, and you can get out early. Now, California is not the only place that is absolutely and utterly insane. The city of Seattle's lost its mind, too. That's right. They are preparing to discuss changes to its criminal code that, if enacted, would make Seattle the first city in the nation to excuse misdemeanor offenses linked to poverty or potentially addiction and mental health crimes. So that person who broke into your house and stole all your stuff, he was poor. So I guess we got to let him get away with it because, you know, poverty is such a bad thing and we don't want anyone to be poor. And if he goes and rips off the rich guy in the rich neighborhood, that is A-okay. I mean, we have to be understanding, don't we? Don't we have to care about our neighbors? So, right, I mean, if there's a business owner, a store that's family-owned and operated, and someone comes in and steals a bunch of food, well, it's okay because they were hungry, because they're poor. I want to explain something to you right now. What we're seeing in these states is that basically you could go to jail and be fined for having dinner with your family on Thanksgiving. You can get in a fight with someone for not wearing a mask and you're okay. That's cool. But if you keep your restaurant open, you could be fined. You can be fined and sent to jail if you had Thanksgiving dinner with your family, but you can commit, well, assault with a deadly weapon and get out. You can steal food from a restaurant or from a grocery store. You cannot pay your bill, and that's okay because you might be poor. But God forbid you not wear that mask. You could end up with a huge fine. This is utter and pure insanity. Now, get ready. The insanity. I'm going to blow your mind with this next video from Portland, Oregon. Because there's a new Chaz that's popped up in Portland. See, there's this family. They're living in the house. They've been evicted like, oh, I don't know, 2 years ago. They refused to leave. And it's birthed a whole new Chaz. Watch this.
Tents, small fires, and messages written in the street inside the blockade. Demonstrators inside are holding their ground for a second night in North Portland.
All of this over a home that was foreclosed on, those living here evicted and not wanting to leave. According to court documents, they were given notice of eviction in November of 2018 and asked to appear in court the following day. They remained at the property and several people have joined in an occupation in protest of the eviction. This week, it grew when deputies moved in to serve an eviction notice.
But they were unsuccessful when demonstrators there pushed police out.
And the group has weapons stockpiled and firearms.
We're going to stop this gentrification and we're going to reclaim the land.
So basically what you're telling me here is that you can squat in a home for 2 years and you can create a CHAZ zone, an area where the police don't matter, where laws don't matter, and everyone just kind of sits back and goes, yeah, that's cool. That's totally okay. But if you have a meal with your family on Thanksgiving or Christmas, you're in trouble. We have lost our minds in the era of COVID. In the era of COVID, we have now said that people who commit crimes, well, they're just poor and disadvantaged. So let's let them do that and screw the rich even more. We've said here in the state of Nevada, guess what? You can't evict anyone now until March 31st. So we're basically saying for the past year, you don't have to pay your rent and landlords just have to eat it because they still have to pay their property tax. They still have to pay their mortgage on the property, but you don't have to pay their rent. And good luck getting that rent that they haven't paid. You're just going to eat it, landlords. This is the ridiculousness that we're facing right now. That crime, true crime, like drive-by shootings, we're going to ignore that. Not wearing that mask? Oh, that's a problem. True crime, like raping someone while they're unconscious due to intoxication. Yeah, we're totally cool with that. Your restaurant has 30% capacity? No, we're tearing you down and we will make sure that you are fined so that you can no longer stay open. And why are we doing this? Because of a little thing called COVID. COVID has absolutely been destroying our economy. It's been destroying capitalism. It's been destroying the American dream. But do you know what else it's coming for? It's coming after the religious. It's coming after church. For months, ad nauseum, we have talked about the fact that people cannot go to church. We have been talked about the fact that your right to assemble, that your freedom of religion, that your freedom of speech, that all of your First Amendment rights have been taken away from you. And we're just doing it in the name of public health. So much so that as you see people getting shot with the vaccine today, you've got reporters and anchors saying, this is giving me tingles. This is giving me chills. This is going to get our life back to normal. No, it's not. Meanwhile, over in the great state of Virginia, we've got Governor Ralph Northam, who also last week issued a whole bunch of new restrictions on coronavirus. And then on the day before Hanukkah, this is what this man had to say. This is a holy time for multiple faith traditions. You know, Hanukkah tomorrow, Christmas 2 weeks. The holidays are typically a time of joy and community when we get together and celebrate faith and family. But this year, we need to think about what's truly most important. Is it worshiping in a building? For me, God is wherever you are. You don't have to sit in a church pew for God to hear your prayers. Worship with a mask on is still worship. Now, can I remind you who Governor Northam is? Let's show the picture. Oh, that's right. He's the governor who in 2019, it came out that in his college yearbook, he dressed up in blackface with another guy dressed up like he's a member of the KKK. And nothing happened to him. There was no outrage from the media. There was no outrage from the people of Virginia. There was no outrage from Black Lives Matter. There was no outrage from anybody. The man is still in office, and now he's dishing out advice on how you should worship and how God hears your prayer anywhere. Oh, it's lovely. It's adorable. Gosh darn it, it's cute. Yes, the good Lord will hear your prayers anywhere. And yes, you can worship in your house. You can worship while watching Elevation Church on TV. You can worship by listening to a podcast from Joyce Meyer in your car. Yes, Governor Northam, you can worship just about anywhere. But what we don't need is a racist hypocrite telling us how we should or should not worship, particularly if you're Catholic. This is a big deal for Catholics and for those who really like to take the sacraments and really believe that you have to be in that building. But why are any of these governors commentating on religion? I want to remind everyone that the reason we had a whole bunch of pilgrims leave England and go on these boats and have terrible, terrible experiences on these boats to create a new land, it was because they wanted religious freedom overall. Because they were tired of the kings kind of changing things all the time. They were tired of state-controlled religion. They wanted religious freedom. They said, I want to be a Quaker. I don't want to believe in Jesus. I want to be a Jew. I want to be this. And they wanted a place where it was free, where the government didn't come in and say, well, you can only do this if you belong to this religion. Interesting. This is the world we live in now, my friends. And it's a very, very scary place. And again, I am not the person who's going to go tell you to protest because I think protests are dumb. You got the right to do it, but they don't change anything. I am certainly not going to tell you to be a keyboard warrior and to go tell somebody that they're an idiot on Facebook or Instagram or even Twitter because it doesn't change a darn thing. What changes is being educated. What changes is getting the truth out there. What changes things is not being afraid and living a fearless life because you know that you have hope. My God, that phrase annoyed me so much today. When people were getting shot up with the vaccine, people kept saying like, oh no, there's hope. There's hope. Guess what? I've had hope this entire year in 2020 because I have faith and I know that no matter what comes our way, me and my family are going to be okay. You probably have that faith as well. We need to start getting a seat at the table. We need to start transforming the way messages are given out because at the end of the day, we're going to keep hearing from these elitist, hypocritical politicians who are going to be destroying our lives, our future, and everything this country is founded on. All right, we've got a lot more to talk about, including a great interview coming up in our next blog with Dr. Michael Bussler. He is an economist. You've probably seen him on Newsmax. You've probably read his articles as a columnist on townhall.com. We're going to talk about the economy, how COVID's affected it, how this vaccine is affecting the stock market, and what on earth is Biden going to do when it comes to taxes and the minimum wage. So give me about a minute and we'll be right back.
I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay. And when it's dry and ready, with dreidel I shall play. Oh, dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. Dreidel, 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 with dreidel I shall play.
The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is a nonprofit organization based in Las Vegas, determined to meet the needs of any and every person who wants mobility and independence. Any child, teen, or adult who needs a wheelchair but can't afford one can get one today from the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation. The Nevada Wheelchair Foundation is meeting the needs for those who need it most. And right now, the Nevada Wheelchair Foundation needs your help. With the holidays here, they want to bless everyone they can with wheelchairs for a better life. Partner with them today to make mobility dreams come true. Donate now at wheelchairfoundation.org or call 702-848-6250. That's 702-848-6250. With almost 10,000 wheelchairs delivered across the state, the Wheelchair Foundation delivers hope, mobility, and independence.
That song is definitely in my top five of holiday Christmas songs, the ones that I actually like, the ones that I'll actually put up with. Yeah, that definitely makes it. I mean, it's No Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC, but it's all right. All right, I want to introduce you right now to my next guest, who is an absolutely amazing man and economist that you're going to want to hear from as we talk about COVID and the future of America's economy. His name is Dr. Michael Bussler. He's a public policy analyst, an economic expert, a professor of finance from Stockton University in New Jersey, and a columnist for Newsmax, LiveZet, and Town Hall. Let's welcome Dr. Bussler. Dr. Bussler, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Michelle. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, I am so glad to speak with you. I wanted to know, just today, we're seeing the stock market is reacting very, very well to this vaccine news. We've actually seen the stock market do very well since the election, which is very surprising. Many people thought we would see a bit of a crash. Things have gone very well this year. What are you seeing with the stock market today in particular with the news of the vaccine? Is this fake happiness or is it real that things are just doing very, very well?
I think the stock market's performance so well after the election is not so much because of the election, but because of the vaccines that were announced shortly after the elections, now approved. And now starting today, people are now getting the vaccine. Look at the big picture for a minute. This year started off to be very good. January and February, it looked like we were going to have the best growth year possibly in 20 years. We haven't seen 4% annual growth since the year 2000. We were close to hitting it, or at least we had the possibility. Then the virus struck. They shut the economy down completely from the middle of March until the end of April. That plunged the economy into a recession, a very deep recession, but a short-lived recession. Because Congress passed the stimulus package, starting in May, the economy began to recover extremely well. We lost about 22,000 jobs by shutting down the economy. By August, we've gotten about half of those jobs back already, and the economy was going forward. Then things started to slow down a little bit because the number of cases went up, and we were still very cautious in many states about reopening the economy. The hope was that a second stimulus package would be passed, which so far hasn't happened, although I'm hearing they're very close. And I've been hearing that for a few weeks, but I hear now they're very close to passing something. What the stock market recognizes that before the virus, the underlying fundamentals of the economy were very good. Once we get the virus under control, the economy is set to grow again rapidly, assuming the incoming administration doesn't do anything to slow that down, which is a may or may not be a good assumption. But if they don't do anything, tax rates are low, regulations have been minimized, and what that did for the first 3 years of the Trump administration was lead to very strong growth, good opportunity, ridiculously low unemployment rates, historically low unemployment rates, especially for minorities, and real wages starting to go up really for the first time in decades. So the economy is doing well. Once these vaccines get out and people get vaccinated, and maybe by middle of spring or late spring, we'll have this under control and the economy will be set to take off.
Well, I certainly hope that is the case. Course, we don't know what the Biden administration is going to do. He, of course, talked a lot about taxes, and he made that lie that anyone making less than $400,000 wasn't going to be affected by the taxes, although things like gas taxes affect absolutely everyone. And tax the rich has never worked, where it's only just taxing the rich. Everyone gets affected by this. Do we think he's really going to go through with these taxes, particularly in light of what we're doing with places like de Blasio in New York City saying, hey, I'm going to shut everything down again?
If President-elect Biden has his way, he will raise taxes. He said he'd eliminate the Trump tax cuts, which raises taxes for all Americans by 10%. Then he says he wants to raise the capital gains tax, which is now either 23.8%, depending on how much size of the capital gain was. He wants to raise that up to 40% also. And he says he only wants to raise taxes on people earning over $400,000. Given everything he wants to do in terms of expanding Obamacare, giving more social programs, perhaps forgiving college student debt, all of those things are very expensive. The problem is only about 1.5 to 2% of the population makes over $400,000 a year. So there's no way he's going to be able to raise enough revenue from just taxing the wealthy. He's going to have to tax everybody. As you raise taxes, regardless of what anybody tells you, as you raise taxes, people have less money to spend. It reduces aggregate demand and slows down the economy. Oh, well, we'll just raise taxes on business. Well, that gives business less retained earnings, less capital to invest. They can't respond to the increase in demand by increasing output because they don't have enough capital. That will lead to higher prices and possibly a stagflation problem similar to what we had in the late 1970s when you had high inflation, a stagnant economy, and the unemployment rate was going up. What President Trump did was exactly right for the economy. We're hoping that the Republicans win at least one and hopefully two of the Senate seats in Georgia. That will stop President-elect Biden from doing anything major. And now if that doesn't work out, he could end up passing some fairly large tax increases, which will stagnate the economy. We have to concentrate on economic growth at this time. He wants to concentrate on curing perceived social injustices. It's injustice everybody doesn't have health care. It's injustice people don't make $15 an hour at least. It's injustice there's not enough food stamps and welfare to go around. It's injustice that college students have to pay their way. So if he starts concentrating on those perceived social injustices and raise taxes to cure them, we're going to end up with a stagnant economy, and that really doesn't benefit anybody.
And what's very concerning to me at this time, particularly you mentioned the $15 minimum wage, I think these socialists, they have some impression that it's major companies like Amazon that are employing everybody. So giving everyone $15, oh, that's nothing. But the truth of the matter is small businesses and in places like Nevada, restaurants are the places that keep us afloat. And a $15 minimum wage for every server, for every maitre d', for every bartender, that could cripple restaurants and a lot of small businesses, which again are the backbone of this country. And in the midst of COVID, my God, they've already taken such a hit. Gyms have taken such a hit. What are we facing here if he does this?
So if $15 an hour, to hire somebody who's completely unskilled. You're hiring someone who has no skills at all, and it's supposed to be an entry-level job, so you learn to get skills, and then you can make more money. But $15 an hour for a 40-hour week for 52 weeks is over $32,000 a year, plus the employer has to pay 6.2% for Social Security and 1.45% for Medicare. So you add a couple thousand dollars onto that, you're now up to $34,000 a year to hire somebody who has absolutely no skills. What happens is there won't be any jobs available, and the unemployment rate for just the people that need to enter the workforce and need a job, the unemployment rate will go up significantly. Look, already, even though prior to the virus, the unemployment rate nationwide for all categories was down to 3.5%. And historic low. However, the teenage unemployment rate was 13%. Usually the teenage unemployment rate and women entering the workforce for the first time, not to pick on any one gender necessarily, but that's a category of people that fall into the minimum wage category. The unemployment rate for those people is always in the 18 to 20% range. In my view, it is far better to pay somebody, with all due respect, according to the value of their output, which is less than $15 an hour in many instances, and everybody has a job and they're learning to do something so they don't have to work at minimum wage anymore, rather than raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And you're right, companies like Amazon and Target and Walmart, they can afford to pay that. They have the huge volume. But small businesses, which create the vast majority of new jobs in most states, cannot afford to pay that. Now, in some states, there's a higher cost of living. You maybe can do it. But let each state decide what the minimum wage should be, rather than coming in with a national minimum wage that's just going to drive up labor costs for business, reduce the number of jobs available. And not only do they have to pay the unskilled workers the $15, there's a rippling effect of that. In other words, if somebody is working at $15 an hour when the minimum wage was $10, he's saying, look, I'm worth $5 an hour more than a new worker. If the minimum wage goes up to $15, you just say, well, I'm going to go up to $20 because I'm worth $5 more than that. So there is a rippling effect that will drive up labor costs, push up prices to consumers. Because, look, business is going to be there only if it's profitable. If costs go up and they can't recover it in the price and their profit shrinks, then it doesn't pay them to be in business anymore. They'd rather get a job and not have to worry about taking any risks. So the minimum wage is the worst thing you can do to just the people that you're trying to help.
I will give you a huge hallelujah and amen to that one. I wanted to ask you as well, as a, I like to call myself a Rand Paul fiscal conservative, and that I really hate increasing the debt and the deficit. And was one of those people who's kind of against the stimulus because we were just creating money and making it up to inflate the economy. But at the same time, I realized that there are states like Nevada, which are very poorly run by people like Governor Sisolak, but our entire livelihood exists on sales tax from restaurants and bars and tourism, which has been taken away from us drastically. And you can see when you listen to our governor speak, he is continually saying things like, well, Washington needs to do more. Congress needs to pass that stimulus. They need to bail us out. These bailouts, though, making fake monopoly money, they really aren't going to bail us out in the end. Eventually, you're going to have so much debt that you're going to go bankrupt and fall. But I don't think the average American gets that. So can you enlighten us about this?
Okay. So when the government deficit spends, they're going to spend more money than they brought in tax revenue. They have to finance that by selling bonds. So they sell 20-year, oftentimes 20-year government bonds. Now, the problem is there's no mechanism in place to ever pay those bonds back. In other words, the bonds mature in 20 years. What do? They sell new bonds to pay back the old bonds. They roll over the debt. As a result, unless you run a surplus in the budget, which we've done in only 4 years in the last 50, unless you run a surplus, the total public debt will never go down. Now, how bad is the debt? Well, most economists will say if the total public debt is less than 1 year's GDP, you're probably not in trouble. Once it gets above 1 year's GDP, it could be problematic because the interest expense starts to get expensive. And by government borrowing so much money, it takes money out of capital markets. So there's somewhat of a shortage for business that too will tend to slow down growth. So how bad is the debt now? Prior to this year, the public debt was $23 trillion. We have a roughly $20 trillion GDP. It was $23 trillion. We just spent in fiscal year 2020, which ended in September 30th, $3 trillion more dollars than we had. So we're now up to $26 trillion. In the first 2 months of fiscal 21, which is October and November, we've added another $500 billion to that debt. So now the public debt is in the $26, $27 trillion range. GDP is only in the 20, 20.5 range. We're way above that. Nearly all economists who look at this objectively will say the public debt is way too high. We understand that the economy right now is in a very difficult spot, at least it was back in May, and we need to get the economy going. And the only way to do it, unfortunately, we did what we could with monetary policy. We lowered interest rates, expanded the money supply, but it wasn't enough. The government had to pass some stimulus. Now, I favored that to get the economy going. I'm not so sure a second stimulus is needed. And as of today, they were talking about another $1.4 trillion, which again will get added to the deficit. What we really need to do is get the economy back opened again. Once the economy can open and do it safely, once we can do that, that's really get people back to work. That's really what we need to stimulate the economy. But any more deficit spending, already it's $400 billion a year just in the interest for what we have, and that's going to continue to go up. So you have to be very careful about deficit spending. The theory that people like Rand Paul would say makes sense is even if you don't balance the budget every year, balance it over the course of the business cycle. So what does that mean? During the recessionary times, you run a deficit in the budget to stimulate the economy. But once you're into an expansion, you don't need to spend as much money. Tax revenue should be higher. Then you run a surplus in the budget, use the surplus to pay back the deficit. And over the course of the business cycle, you'll balance the budget. That's what most of those will recommend. We're really going to have to confront this debt and deficit problem as soon as possible. It's not going to be easy, but we need to confront it.
Amen. I'd say it louder for the people in the back, but you're kind of preaching to the choir on this show. Dr. Bussler, I wish I could talk with you more. We are running out of time in this block, but I hope to have you on the show again. Absolutely fascinating. And there's just so much to talk about with the economy. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. And everyone check him out on townhall.com, LifeZet, and on Newsmax. Have a great day, Dr. Bussler.
Thank you.
All right. We've got much more show coming up. In fact, people are trying to cancel Christmas. You're never going to believe what neighbors are sending neighbors. A raccoon in a tree and porta potties that sing. It's the media buzz, and we're coming up right after this break.
Well, nothing ever grows. No rain or rivers flow. Do they know it's Christmas time?
Wondering if now is the time to buy or sell a home, or is a market crash on the way? At Home, a real estate company, John Kennedy and his team will make sure you have all the information you need to make an informed decision. Home is where the heart is, and John Kennedy and his team are ready to lead you home. Give them a call today at 702-640-0101 or visit them at homerealestatecompany.com. Ladylikeclothing.com is a Las Vegas locally owned women's boutique created to cater to women who want to look their best without compromising comfort and quality. LadylikeClothing.com focuses on contemporary, well-designed looks with classic feminine styling. Ladylike Clothing wants to help you build a wardrobe you'll love with beautiful, functional pieces that are never overdone and always ladylike. Shop online today at LadylikeClothing.com.
Hi, this is Michelle Mortensen, and if you know me, you know I support our veterans. And that's why I want to tell you about my good friends at Therapy Blocks LLC, our newest sponsor of the show. Therapy Blocks LLC is veteran-owned and operated, and many of their therapists are veterans themselves or active National Guard members. Therapy Blocks LLC is a pediatric physical, occupational, and speech therapy rehab outpatient clinic that also offers home visits and telehealth services for special needs children up to age 18. Therapy Blocks LLC follows all CDC guidelines to ensure the health and wellness of their clients and their families. They're located in the Southern Hills Hospital Medical Building on Sunset Road. Give our friends at Therapy Blocks LLC a call today at 702-419-8120. That number again, 702-419-8120. And tell them you learned about Therapy Blocks LLC right here on The Michelle Mortensen Show.
Looking to sell or buy a home? There's no one better than your Las Vegas neighborhood realtors, Melissa White-Simmons and Tim Eaton of Urban Nest Realty. Melissa and Tim will meet your every need and go the extra mile to make sure you find the perfect house to call home. With Team Melissa White at Urban Nest Realty, you'll be taken care of every step of the way. Call Melissa and Tim today at 702-757-8605. That's 702-757-8605.
I said I really can't stay.
Maybe it's cold outside.
I have to go away.
Maybe it's cold outside.
I wish I knew
how. Your eyes are like starlight
to
now.
Break this spell.
Don't cancel me for playing that song. Don't send the snowflake police after me for playing Baby It's Cold Outside, okay? All right? And don't get mad because it's Lady Gaga. You might not like her politics, but her voice is amazing. That's all I'm going to say about that. What I am going to say is, how on earth did this lady get a raccoon in her tree? It is the media buzz, my friends. Every Monday, we're going to talk about what's buzzing in social media and around the world. And a raccoon in a Christmas tree? You gotta see this video.
Get out of my tree. There's a cat inside my Christmas tree. It's 4:15 in the morning.
See if there's some furry body inside the Christmas tree.
No, it's not a cat. What is that? Is that a squirrel? Oh, it's a raccoon. No!
These are all the ornaments that made it. There's my beautiful tree. There's the raccoon. Again, I don't know what I was thinking. I let the dog back out. The dog pulled the raccoon from the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree came down with the raccoon. She sleeps right there in front of it. I've never had an animal in 7 years come through that door.
I don't know that I would have been as chill as she evidently was, with a raccoon hanging from my chandelier. But whatever, close your doggy doors if you live near raccoons. I mean, did they all get tested for rabies now? I am totally freaked out by that story. You know what else freaks me out, though, is what's going on in North Carolina as a freaking HOA wants to cancel Christmas decorations because, God forbid, a homeowner had a Christmas tree and, wait for it, a cross in their front yard Christmas display. Watch this.
A reason for the season or an HOA violation.
Lo and behold, after putting it out right after Thanksgiving, we got a notice in the mail and it shocked us.
James Faison and his wife have lived in their community for 5 years. This Christmas, they put up a 6-foot cross in their yard.
So we believe that the cross is symbolic of hope, salvation, and deliverance. And it's so important that we have this cross up for Christmas time.
But the HOA believed it was a violation, sending them this letter saying the cross is not considered a Christmas decoration, but for Easter or Passover, so it needed to be removed or pay a $100 fine.
Let's put a Merry Christmas wreath up here as well. And so,
when the Faisons questioned the violation, the HOA responded.
They didn't mention anything in the bylaws. They didn't say go and look here in the bylaws as far as it relates to the HOA and the community. This is the reason why. They didn't say any of those things. but they asked me to provide biblical references.
Despite their confusion, the Faisons provided biblical references to connect Christmas and the cross. It wasn't until Eyewitness News contacted the HOA they responded, saying the cross can stay up, but the case is still under review.
We're HOA paying residents. We love the community, great community, nice neighbors and everything, but at the same time, the HOA, what they have done, they've crossed the line.
Oh my gosh, I am so offended on multiple levels. I can't believe the HOA said, you need to send us proof that across this Christmas decorations or we're going to fine you that $100 a day. Let me make it really clear. So little baby Jesus was born on Christmas, and then little baby Jesus grew up to be big adult Jesus, and they put him on a cross and killed him, and then he rose again on the third day. Woo! Problem solved. I hate the ridiculousness and the attack on Christmas. But then again, check out this letter. Neighbor gave another homeowner in Minnesota about their Christmas decorations. I can't help but notice your Christmas lights display. During these unprecedented times, we have all experienced challenges, which casual words just don't describe what we're feeling. The idea of twinkling colorful lights are a reminder of divisions that continue to run through our society. A reminder of systemic biases against our neighbors who don't celebrate Christmas or who can't afford to put up their own lights.
Okay, I cannot believe a neighbor wrote that to another neighbor. Now, I know what you're thinking. This house that the neighbor, they must have the Griswold house, right? Remember the Griswold house?
Clark?
Ow! Clark!
Clark!
Honey, I think I know what's wrong.
I mean, if a Karen is going to write a letter like that, they must be the Griswold house. But wait for it. Here's their Christmas decoration. It's a wreath! And one string of lights! A wreath! And one string of rainbow lights! Are you freaking kidding me? Whoa, the Karens be out in full force this year. Coming after Christmas. Like, I don't know. It just makes no sense. So on that note, I thought I'd show you a bunch of porta potties singing Christmas carols. I didn't know porta potties could sing, but that didn't stink one iota. I mean, the porta potties stink. They're really the most disgusting thing on earth. But man, they sing like angels. Just love it. Love it. All right. And that is today's show. We're going to have a freaking amazing show on Friday, though. Just so you know, my friends, Ryan Weaver, country star Ryan Weaver, is going to be with me the entire episode as a guest host. He's actually going to be singing live for us on the show. It's a really special Christmas show about a week before Christmas. I hope that you will join us. But of course, you're also going to get your daily dose of everything that's going on in politics. We're going to nix the narrative and have a whole bunch of fun because that's what we do on this show, right? This is not your daddy's political and news talk show. No, it's way cooler. Can I say that? It's way cooler. The show could not be done without my amazing team, Spencer, Lauren, Danny, everyone who helps make this show possible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you aren't following me on Facebook, on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, and if you are not a subscriber to the show at michellemortensen.com, what is stopping you? I can't imagine what you or how we stay on the air. So if you want to see this show more, if you want to see it on more TV stations, we need your support. Go to michellemortensen.com today and support us. You will get free interviews and a whole bunch of swag along the way. A big Christmas gift is coming to my subscribers very, very soon. So please sign up and support. You know, we end the show right now with a little bit of Christmas karaoke. I told you I've got some top songs. Christmas and Hollis is up there. The Waitress's Christmas Wrapping Paper, high up there too. Another fave comes from that amazing boy band, NSYNC. Because back then in the 90s, they could still say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. Can't say that anymore. All right, so we are ending today with a little bit of NSYNC. I will see you back here on Friday.
Merry Christmas. Happy holiday. Happiness, 'cause